B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a shot won't get through. Hedman again. Still can't get it through, and it's point there. Led back over to Shattenkirk, then on to Hedman. Moving on. Hit shot. He scores! Hedman wins it, and the Lightning move on to the conference final.
Player, he always has your back. You definitely want to see him leave. Great friend. I can't say enough about that guy. But at the same time, it just kind of hit me after the game that the core group, you know, a few of us, we have 1 or 2, 3 years left with the pandemic going on. You never know what's going to happen. It's just kind of a little sad right now.
What's up? It's Toucher and Rich. That right there was David Krejci. And out of all the guys who spoke last night, Krejci just seemed the most crushed. Like, he had his hat down over his eyes. He wasn't looking up. Talking about how, you know, it's occurred to him that this, you know, could possibly be the last ride of the core group. And he's right. I mean, all this talk about Zdeno Chara, we don't know whether he's going to be back. And, you know, Mike Lockhart, during the break here, brought up a really good point that could affect everything when it comes to what this team is going to look like next season. And that is, how does this season start? Does it start in a bubble? Because if it does, you're looking at a couple of major pieces that you might not have. First of all, let's start with, and by the way, the camp starts on November 17th and the season starts December 1st. So, I mean, I don't think that there's any, you know, delusion that we're all going to be out of this by that point. I think that most people are saying that, you know, this thing's going to be around until the beginning of at least next year, when hopefully there's going to be vaccines. So, you know, there's already a bunch of different, you know, basketball has been talking about starting the season next year in a bubble as well. And hockey might do the same. So Tuukka Rask left the bubble to be with his family. Now, from what we know, and the little bit that we do know, is that his family member was sick. Do you think if this season starts in a bubble, Tuukka Rask is going to come back for the beginning of the season?
I think it depends on how long they're going to have to stay there.
They don't know. They're not. No, if you start the season in a bubble, you're not going to know. So there's going to be that uncertainty.
I get that. But I think ultimately they can't hold an entire season there. I mean, there's no guarantee there's a vaccine. So you can't do a season in a bubble. I didn't know we were going in this direction. So, you know, thinking off the top of my head, I think the NHL better get to work on how to have hockey games with no fans in the stands in all of the team's separate buildings. Now, it may take longer than a couple of months to get that together. Maybe the testing protocols will be better. Maybe they'll be able to somehow quarantine hold on. Let me just finish the thought. What I'm saying is, if they can't do it in two, and by the way, December 1st is 3 months. Three months from today. Yeah. So if they can't get it done in 3 months, maybe they start the season in the bubble, and then after a month, everyone scatters to their own buildings.
Well, once again, if they start the season in a bubble, they're not going to know when it's going to be over. Like, it's not going to be like, all right, we'll be done in a month. That's not how this is going to work. It's going to be, we're going to do this until we feel safe. You know, because you can't set like a date, you know, because they're not going to know exactly when everything's going to be A-okay. So there's going to be uncertainty if they start in a bubble. And everything I'm reading right now, you know, seems to say that there is a decent chance that that's what they're going to have to do that. And if that's the case, I think that there's two players that you may not have in this team at the beginning of the season, and maybe not even at all. I don't know if Tuukka Rask comes back if it's in a bubble, because there might be part of him that thinks, well, I don't want what happened this time to happen again, so I'm going to stay here.
I don't think he's the only guy either. I mean, I think the reason why these guys played in the bubble this year was to win a Stanley Cup.
And it was a finite time. Okay, if
absolutely,
we play this long and we know we're going to get out.
Yeah.
The only reason I thought there'd be a finite period of time that they'd play in a bubble at the beginning of next season is to get the teams ready for, okay, here's where all you guys are going to have to be, you know, in your separate cities. Here are the testing protocols. Like for baseball, You know, that kind of thing. And baseball's done a pretty good job in the last week or two anyway.
Hang on. No, they haven't at all. Baseball's been a disaster.
No, no, no. The last week or two, they haven't had teams sit out a week. But up until this, I'm just saying, maybe baseball's finally getting this right.
Don't bring up baseball. Talk about even, you know, you can even talk about preseason NFL. Because
NFL.
They haven't traveled.
There are teams, maybe they'll perfect this in given 3 extra months. All I'm saying is, you're right. If there's no finite period of time, if they just say, you know what, Tuca, you have to go back to Toronto, we don't know when we're going to see you again, then yeah, I would imagine you're right. He will opt out and he won't play again.
And another guy that I think might say, and this is not his personality, but if you're also teetering on the edge of retirement, if they say, you know what, this season is going to start in a bubble and we don't know if it's going to finish in a bubble, I got a feeling that's enough for someone like Zdeno Chara to go, you know what? That's a sign.
Yeah.
That's a sign that I'm done. So, and I think it's over.
Can we talk about Tuukka Rask returning not in a bubble? And, you know, let's say the season starts at the Garden and everything's normal. I've already shared my thoughts. I don't think Rask can come back from this on a fan level, meaning people accept him. I think his teammates will. And clearly you saw the loss of Tuukka Rask on the ice in a playoff series. Like, you saw that. We all believe that they need Tuukka Rask to be successful.
Well, I agree. I mean, they're not going to win anything unless they have a championship goalie. And I do believe that Tuukka Rask, not just because of him going home, he's alluded to the fact that his head might not be in it anymore. And the Bruins have to start planning ahead. Halak's not your guy. Halak was a perfect tandem goalie, a perfect guy to be your backup. And I mean, look at the statistics. Tuukka and Halak were the best tandem goalie set in the entire league. So he was perfect for who he was. And last night he was great, obviously, but you're right. You're not going to win a championship with Halak being your number one guy. And Tuukka's not going to be playing much longer. I'm convinced of that. Even if he comes back and even if he starts off the season amazing, his head just does not seem to be into it anymore.
And he's hinted retirement too, man. He's hinted that.
That's what I'm saying. He could be done as well. So that to me is their number one issue going. The Chara thing is more of a sentimental deal, but figuring out what the hell you're going to do for the future in net with this team. And I don't know if it's Vladar. Sure enough, we haven't seen enough of this guy. And maybe they think he's the cat's pajamas. But right now, you know, you can't win with him. Let's go real quick. Let's take Chris on line two. Chris, what's up, man? You're on the show.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to touch base on how lights out Halak played last night. I mean, it was great. But back to what you guys are saying, isn't Big Z's contract up this year?
Yeah. He's been doing year to year, and it's a very team friendly $2 million contract. Everyone just kind of assumed that he would be back next year.
Right. I mean, listen, I'm also Big Z, but what if we trade Big Z away and get a, you know, an actual goaltender? I mean,
he's an unrestricted free agent. He's been signing year to year.
And if you trade him, you're not going to get a goaltender in the same universe as Rask.
I think the only way you could get that type of guy is trading a Marchand type player.
Yeah. In order to get a goaltender who is Vezina caliber, which is, by the way, what Rask is. Rask may win the Vezina trophy this year.
Yeah.
For all the bitching and moaning we've been doing over the last 3 weeks, he may be the Vezina trophy winner this year. Those guys don't fall out in front of you on the road as you're driving by. If you get rid of Tuukka Rask, you're going to have to deal with a goaltender that's maybe 60% of him for at least a couple of years, if not longer. I mean, you take a look at the free agent goaltenders this year. Suppose Rask opts out, or you trade away Rask for a first-round pick or a younger player, and, you want a goaltender that is good.
Yeah.
Matt Murray and Braden Holtby and Corey Crawford are the three big ones. Holtby the last 3 years has been, even when they won the cup, Holtby wasn't great.
But he's got to cost you money too.
Not as much as Rask, but yes. And Holtby's coming off a very bad year for him. And so, by the way, and Matt Murray has won a cup as well. He didn't have a good year this year either.
There's just no one they can get that's better than Rask.
Exactly.
And what drives me nuts is Rask holds all the cards.
Yep.
Ah, it drives me nuts.
All right. Alex on line one. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I just wanted to talk on the officiating. Like, specifically that hit on McAvoy. How is that not called and at least reviewed? It's like, that hit was ridiculous. And I get McAvoy was turning, but that just feels like one of those plays. Okay, like you see it, you call it, and you at least review it or something. Like that just feels like a really dangerous precedent to set for the rest of the playoffs. And
well, I don't think that, and I think that there was enough there for it not to be called. I mean, as you said, I mean, you saw him turn there. But the one thing that I thought is, like, if you're going to call what Richie did a penalty, then you need to call what you saw last night with McAvoy a penalty. That was my whole opinion of what happened yesterday. Like, if you're going to throw that out there in one game, then you got to be as loose as you can in that one. But I mean, I know why they didn't call it, and you can argue either way. I understand that, but you have to make the standard the same as who gets called. And who does not.
I think McAvoy sold it a little bit too.
McAvoy sold it?
I thought he sold it a little bit.
No, dude, I think the hits were different.
I mean, the Paquette punch was valid.
I think that was real. The hits were different. The Richie hit and the Paquette hit were different in this. Now, Cedric Paquette is not the cleanest player in the world, but I think just taking these two hits and comparing them, I thought Richie's was worse.
Yeah. I mean, the hit. I don't think McAvoy sold it.
That was third period, right?
The way that it looked, I thought he was going to be out for the rest of the game. I thought he was. He was concussed.
All I mean by sold it is he went into the boards. He fell. I think he tried to get the penalty and he didn't. That's what I mean by, that's what I mean by sold it.
Okay. He crashed head first into the board. He was knocked out, man.
Here's what I want to do. I want to bend over, and to really sell this thing, I want to bash my skull against the boards
and have to go into the quiet room
for about 25 minutes. That for sure is going to sell this call.
I'm watching it again.
I want to knock myself out.
I'm watching it right now. He did hit his head in the boards. Yep.
Yeah.
He was on the ground and sold it.
Son of a bitch, it didn't work.
He definitely sold it on the ground, though. That's what I mean.
He was out. He didn't know where he was. Sell it.
It's like a guy getting shot.
It's a good sell job right there.
Sell him getting shot.
I mean, you got to get back to normal here. It's a little bit of a sell job by McAvoy.
Rich, does this happen once a show, or is it just me?
That's why I love Joe Murray.
A little bit of a sell job, guys. I'm not going to lie to you.
Everything's a conspiracy.
We lost Ty Anderson. Sell job.
All right. Speaking of Ty, let's get him on here to save this. All right, so Ty Anderson, he has been up all night. I don't think he slept. I mean, if you just look at his Twitter timeline, he slept like 10 minutes between tweets. But we'll have him on and kind of let us know about the future of the Bruins and what the hell's going on, and maybe he can talk some sense into Joe Murray. We'll get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a shot won't get through. Hedman again. Still can't get it through, and it's point there. Led back over to Shattenkirk, then on to Hedman. Moving on. Hit shot. He scores! Hedman wins it!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk, while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Tusher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And at the head of the line is Zdeno Chara, the captain, as he always is. 14 years, 43 years of age, 14 years of Bruin. Said in April he had no retirement plans, but his contract with Boston is up, so we'll see. It is likely the last time we're going to see him in a Bruin uniform. I hope you don't mind I shift gears from hockey, the humanity that this guy has, over his span of time in Boston, he's reached out to oppressed groups. He's made donations of time and food and clothing, as a lot of guys do. But if he were coming to your home for dinner tomorrow night, he'd want to talk about you and your family and not himself. He's a good soul, and you always see other people greet him for that reason. And a gallant player who did win a championship for Boston in his time. Perhaps you two have thoughts you want to share as well as he departs.
It'd be a real shame if it is his last game as a Bruin, Doc. And for all the things that you mentioned, he is just an absolutely fabulous human being.
The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray, John Wallach in studio, and Ty Anderson. Nihilist Ty Anderson, as one of our listeners referred to you this morning, is a great writer for 985 thesportshub.com. Not just about Bruins hockey. So after this is all done and over with, he still writes about everything else. Although his first love, as we know, is of course this team. So he is a broken man this morning. But Ty, hearing that last night. And that wasn't the first time they alluded to this being Chara's last game. I think sometime in the second period, you know, I don't know if it was Doc or one of the other guys who mentioned that, you know, it almost sounded like with certainty. As a matter of fact, right there, Doc almost sounded like with certainty. Like, I think he said this is likely his last time you'll see him playing for the Bruins. What do you know about this, and how much do you believe that Chara is, because Chara's on right now just a year-to-year thing. He's been doing that essentially to help. He's not doing it for the money. It's only for like $2 million with incentives, or bonuses, rather. So he's, you know, he's just kind of been doing it almost to save money so the Bruins can get better players. But what do you think the chances are that he's gone after this year?
I didn't think he would. I mean, he was talking in April, and he said he didn't plan on it. And I just, the amount of, to your point, the amount of buzz that there is about him maybe being done, makes you wonder if there's been a change of heart. You know, I know that Chara has reached out to certain guys in the past to sort of ask them when they realized it was over. I always talked to Recchi about it, Lidstrom, and Jaromir Jagr, and you know, the answers kind of vary there. But and that was recent. That was, you know, about two seasons ago. I think he started that process, kind of trying to figure out what his own hockey mortality was. I honestly don't think that he's totally done. I think that this break hurt him probably more than anybody else. But I think that he could still play, just maybe in a third pairing kind of role, a penalty killing specialist. But it feels like a coin flip right now. I can't see him walking away under these circumstances, but maybe he doesn't want to go out like Jaromir Jagr did when Jagr was just a fossil of himself. He was not who he was as recently as two seasons ago. Well, you know, when he went out with the Flames and in 2017, he looked bad. He looked out of place.
Jagr's going to play forever, though. He's going to play. He's playing. I just looked it up. He scored 15 goals in 38 games in the Czech Republic this year. I mean, it just he's never going to
quit
playing.
Yeah, but he's like playing farmers. He's like playing, like, it's not.
You're telling me like the Czech Elite League isn't a bastion of good hockey talent?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Yeah.
He's 48 and he's still scoring goals. I don't care who it's against. It's impressive.
But the thing is, though, with Chara, maybe I'm at overreaction city right now, but I really think that if Chara's gone, like, to me, like, that kind of would tear me up as a fan more than like Brady leaving, because with Brady, you knew that something was happening there. Like, it was like they weren't getting along. They didn't, in the off season before his final season, you know, they didn't, get him an extension. So you had like a kind of year to go, all right, well, this is probably it. Like, if Chara's gone, like, dude, that's going to be tough. Like, Chara and the fours in the same year, that's going to be tough to take. Neither one being a Causeway anymore.
Yeah, and honestly, like, there are so many Chara stories that would, like, blow your mind. Like, just things that he's done, things that he's said. It's like, losing that kind of guy is just not something that I think I'm ready for as a person, as a writer, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like he met my friend who had a Bruins tattoo on his forearm, and this was, like, 2009, and he goes, is that real? And my friend's like, yeah, this is real. And he goes, can I touch it? And he goes, yeah, sure. And so he was touching my friend's Bruins tattoo going, this is really cool. He goes, do your parents like this? Like, he's like the nicest human in the world. And like, I have another friend who met him in a mall with like his baby when he was like one, you know, the baby was really young. And Chara said, thank you for being nice to me. You have a beautiful baby. And he walked away. It's like there's so many things that this guy did that are like, I don't want to lose this human being. Are you kidding me? So I hope he sticks around forever. But I do think he has at least one more year in him, just in a reduced role, so to speak.
Okay, so the Chara situation is something that I think is – you know, it's definitely, you know, on a, you know, like a personal, like, a, you know, a team captain level, that's obviously a big deal. But I think that one of the biggest questions that they've got going into this offseason is, what is this goalie situation? Because not only do you have, you know, Tuukka Rask sending messages that maybe his heart isn't into it anymore, not by leaving, but he's done other things beside that. He's even, like, talked about, you know, whether or not he's, you know, going to consider retiring. And Halak is not a guy that can win you a championship. I think we've learned that. Like, Halak, you know, last night he was excellent. You know, he did the best he could. But that's why he was the second in a great tandem. I don't think he's a number one guy. What are the Bruins going to do? Oh, and then there's another thing, too, with Tuukka. Like, what if the season starts in a bubble, as some people are predicting it might? Does Tuukka go to the bubble? You know, I mean, or is that just kind of the same situation that we had why he left, because he wanted to be close to his family? So it just, to me, sounds like they've got to really start planning for the future when it comes to who's going to be in goal for this team for the years to come.
Yeah, and there's no better time to figure that out than right now. You look at this goaltending market this offseason, you have Corey Crawford, you have Robin Lehner. There's also a few other options there, like Matt Murray and Jacob Markstrom. Braden Holtby, I think he's kind of cooked personally, but he's an option as well. So this would be a good market. I mean, if you need to get an answer out of him, what are your plans? Are you going to be back? Are you staying at home? You know, what's more important to you? And only he can answer that question. But if there was ever a time for him to make that decision, it's right now with the amount of goaltenders that are on the market and available for the Bruins, either through trade or free agency. So they need an answer out of him. It's just a matter of when and where does the season begin, and is he going to be part of it? They need to get that answer. And I don't know if they can get it right now or by the time free agency begins. So we'll see. But Sweeney's already talked about that they expect me back with the team next year. So maybe they do believe he's going to be back, but again, you're going to have to wait and see.
Hey, Ty, you just mentioned Don Sweeney. Is he the right guy to, you know, kind of refix this and keep the core in line and maybe try to find the next goaltender? I think he got, you know, the deadline. He didn't do well. Clearly Tampa Bay did. But is he the guy, like, is this somebody that you believe in that can keep the Bruins at this pace?
Well, you know, it's hit and miss with him. I think that he's been phenomenal at retaining his own talent at an affordable price and keeping this core together, you know, on pretty good contracts. That said, I think that he's been stubborn at times. I think this continued search to get bigger and find another power forward is maddening. I mean, Bolesky, Hayes, Backes, now Richie, two Richies, in fact. You know, this quest to keep finding this guy, this unicorn who can hit, score goals, and play in your top six is just, it's maddening. They can't find this guy. And how many times are you going to keep trying before you say, okay, you know what, maybe we just got to draft and develop that guy. We can't find him, so let's go from there. So that part bothers me, but I do think that overall he's been more good than bad. The 2015 draft will obviously haunt them forever, it seems, but I do think that he's had a pretty good, you know, pretty good track record here. You know, they go to the Cup final last year. They're the President's Trophy winner, the best team in the league when they go on pause. So it's kind of a mixed bag there. There are things that drive me nuts, but I do think that he can build a winner. It's just about not falling in love with aging talents and giving out bad contracts.
You know, Ty, just with Chara real quick, just back to him. If the season starts in a bubble, if in December, or I guess November 17th is I think when training camp starts, if after all of this and being away from their family for a time that they knew when the ending date was going to be, it was never going to be any longer than when the last day of the Stanley Cup Finals was, if they start the season in a bubble, do you think that would affect Zdeno Chara's decision as to whether or not he's going to come back?
That is a good question because I don't know. I don't know how these guys like the bubble. I really don't. I think that they dealt with it for the time being, but I don't think anyone wants to do it again. I think that would be a tough sell, honestly, for the players to say, okay, we're going to begin again, so pick your city here, you know, and get comfortable. I have a hard time imagining that any player wants to do that, especially if it's a farewell tour. I mean, maybe he pulls a Justin Williams and signs on when there are fans again. You know, maybe that's something that he does. But it's hard for me to project how these guys are going to handle the potential of being in a bubble again, because I do think that it was mentally taxing on more than a few players, and coaches have been upfront about that. So I don't know. That's a tough thing to imagine a guy signing up for again.
With only 2 months, basically, until we start hockey again, and 3 months, I guess 3 months from today, for the regular season to begin, and you have free agency and you have the draft coming up. There's a lot on Don Sweeney's plate, and I want to get back to some of the things that Joe brought up a couple of questions ago. Do you see, and you mentioned Tampa's going to have to do this to clear some salary cap room, do you see, regardless of what the Bruins' decision is, Don Sweeney making one of those trades, trading one of those core guys among the forwards, the top two lines, to get a younger player or to get a first-round draft pick, basically make one of those surprise moves that shocks all of us?
I don't, unless that the negotiations with Jake DeBrusco sell. That's the context I could see them maybe making a trade. You know, I look at Calgary here, right? There's been a lot of talk of Calgary maybe blowing it up and trading Johnny Gaudreau or Sean Monahan, a player like that. If the Bruins could make a play for a guy like that and dangle DeBrusque out there, and listen, I like DeBrusque, but I think that on a cup-winning team, cup-winning Bruins team, it might be a third liner. That would maybe be a situation in which I see that happening. But I don't see them trading a piece of this core. If anything, I see them maybe trading a collection of assets, the sort of that next core that we talk about, to maybe extend this current window for the guys like Bergeron, Krejci, and Marchand.
All right, so what about Krug, from what you're hearing? What do you think this is it?
I think this is it. I do. I just think that he has a depressed market with the flat cap and not too many contenders probably looking to spend big. But I think he's going to get paid, and I just don't see how they make it work here without making some serious cuts elsewhere, sort of what John was saying. So I do think that this is it for him, and that's a bummer. The undrafted free agent signing the highest scoring American player in franchise history, but I do think that, again, with the expansion draft as well, it's going to be harder to get him locked in for, you know, 6 years at $7 million.
All right, so Ty Anderson, season is over. Looking back on everything, give us some sort of hope for next season. Just give, if you can, and I know it's tough to do this on a dark morning like this.
You're talking to a depressed guy. There's not a lot of sunshine in Ty's game. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I know that in there is, when it comes to the Bruins, this is a man who, underneath all of the anger and the hostility right now and just being depressed about how it all ended, there's a little glimmer of hope. There's like a little, it's like a blow pop. You got a little bubblegum center right there.
All right.
The hope that just keeps it all going. Give me some hope for next year there, Ty Anderson.
Well, first of all, that gum was always expired, so that's a terrible analogy. I don't want to eat that.
And we're off.
Keep that gum. I don't want that at all. But no, I don't know. I just think that you look at this team, and they were the best team in hockey before they had 4 months off because of a pandemic. You know, so I'm confident in that. They just need to get more scoring, and I hope that, you know, this postseason was a lesson to Bruce Cassidy. This was his first time taking a step back. You know, every year under Cassidy, they took a step forward. This was the first time they've gone backwards. And that was going to happen unless they won the Stanley Cup, I know. But maybe he changes now. Maybe he realizes that he needs to give some of these younger players a longer leash. And Jack Stadnicka is developing faster than they thought. Maybe he's a big piece of what they do next year. But I do think that you can take comfort in the fact that this was a good team up until they had to take a massive break that derailed them. But for me, the problem is still going through Tampa. I mean, they need to beef up their scoring. They need to do it. It has to happen. No more Band-Aids, no more hoping that a $1 million free agent signing can do the trick. They need to get somebody. They need to get somebody legit or move Coyle up and get a third line center. It has to happen this offseason. So I'm confident that they understand that this is reality staring them in the face now. The core members are saying we only have one or two more tries at this. I think the front office needs to finally accept that as well and go for the home run, and I think they will.
All right, Ty Anderson, of course, from 98.5thesportshub.com. You can continue to read his stuff. As I said, you know, he loves writing for the Bruins, but he does a bunch of other stuff as well. And you know what, Ty? Listen, you, like many people, have shared how tough all of this has been for you, not just the Bruins loss, but everything in general. And I just want to leave you with a nugget. You know what happened after the pandemic of 1919? The Roaring Twenties, baby. A near decade of parties, great music, drinking. Well, for you, it'd be a nice country time lemonade because you put the X on your hand. But it was right. Just almost a decade-long party with great music and celebration. Now, listen, immediately after that, we got the Great Depression. But it was almost 8 years of hardcore, great fun and partying, the Roaring Twenties. And I think that that's what awaits you on the other side of all this, Ty. So just keep thinking about that. Women dressed as flappers. It doesn't get sexier than that. Ty.
I'm already worried about 8 years from now. Thanks a lot. Now I'm going to enjoy my day. Now 8 years from now, I'm going to be hit in the face with depression, even more so than already. Can't wait.
Maybe a little bit longer. Maybe 9-10 years. This time, we'll hold it back a little bit. We'll learn from our mistakes. All right. Well, Ty Anderson, great stuff, as always. You can read him at 98.5thesportshub.com. And we'll keep in touch with you, you know, through all this, because obviously there's a lot of decisions to be made, and this Chara thing's really interesting. And I'd love to get your take on all of it. All right, Ty, we'll talk to you again real soon. Okay, man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me this season, guys. Really appreciate it.
As always, man. We'll talk to you again soon. All right. 617-779-0985. We're going to be taking your calls this morning about everything that happened yesterday. We'll be taking a short break in the middle of all of it to welcome our friend Vermin Supreme to the show.
Hell yeah.
Today is election day, and Vermin Supreme, I think, is actually on some of the ballots. If you don't know Vermin Supreme, he's that wizard-looking dude with a boot on his head who
that
just
smells awesome.
Who we've had in studio many times. It does not smell great, but... dude's pretty damn funny. So just in the middle of all that, I think at the end of next hour, we're going to end up having him on. So he reached out.
I'm like, not in studio, though.
And I was like, listen, if there's any day where you just need something that just to step away from the kick in the nuts that yesterday's game was, then maybe this would be it. But we will take your call. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray, John Wallach here in studio on a little bit of a postmortem of the Bruins yesterday. But Joe, and in particular, Joe, and in particularly John, I have figured out once again the true reason.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Danny
98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray, John Wallach here in studio on a little bit of a postmortem of the Bruins yesterday. But Joe and in particular John, I have figured out once again the true reason why the Bruins weren't able to pull it off this year. I mean, really, against what everyone figured that this was a team of destiny. I mean, we saw how they were playing during the regular season. You know, they were 6 points ahead of anybody else. They were right in there. They had the best line. I mean, Pastrnak was one of the best scorer in the game. You had the best goalie tandem. There was no reason that they shouldn't have gone further than they did. But then I remembered something, John.
I think I know where we're going with this.
You know why they lost.
Hi, this is Catherine Tappan, star of Nesson. Star of Nesson. Everything is
awesome. Get the duck balls ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. Everything the Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions. Stanley Cup champions.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold. Dale Arnold.
Backhander, Kenevich, St. Thomas, rebound score. Joel Ward on the follow-up hit. Wins the game for the Capitals. The Capitals put an end to the Bruins season. Yeah.
Of Dale Arnold.
Yeah. Time expires, and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Rust will send it all the way down, wide of the empty net, and that's it.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
The Bruins season comes to an end at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens.
Dale Arnold.
The St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup.
Shoots, they score! Victor Hedman wins it 3-2 for the Lightning in double overtime.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
You left out the crock of crap part. Because it's a crock of crap.
That was a curse.
A high production value. We added on. We can keep adding on to this. This is great.
Listen, the facts don't lie. You have, when you've got, of course, Catherine Tappan behind the desk over there at Nesson, this team's killing it. I mean, they end up winning a cup. We remember we're standing on her with the duck boats, and hey, what's up, Catherine Tappan? And the minute they remove her, or they don't remove her, she moved up in the world, and she ended up going to, of course, NBC Sports. But the minute she leaves and they put in Dale Arnold, everything goes to hell. It is the curse of Dale Arnold. And while he is there, they will continue to lose. And I try to convince myself at the beginning of every season that it's different, that the curse does not exist. But I present to you in pre-produced packaging form for the last minute and 3 seconds. That's all the evidence you need. The curse is real. Dude, it's worse than the Madden curse. Like, this thing hits more than the Madden curse does. It's the curse of Dale Arnold.
You know what? You know what? And the curse is so powerful. Catherine Tappan was on the desk for NBC Sports last night for the game, and it still didn't help.
No. You can't just, like, try to mix the two. That's like evil magic versus good magic. You know, listen, Voldemort's going to win every once in a while. And that's what apparently happened here. Voldemort. All right?
Yeah, I love blaming Dale. I mean, we have the wrangle when it comes to officiating, and then it's the curse of Dale.
So this is the dangle.
This could be
the dangle. It's the Dale angle.
This could be the Dale angle, if you'd like. But if we want to pile on Dale, I'm in. Let's do it.
Dan just said, John's been sitting on that one for years, the dangle. Oh, God.
You know, hey, Tuca
pat myself on the back for that.
Supposedly
that
Dale's good. Writing a book with Tuca. It's all Dale's fault. That's why Tuca went home. It's his fault.
Right. I agree. I think Dale actually, you know how he just said, hey, I got a text. I think it was because he texted him at one point. He said, dude, you got to leave.
Dude, you should go.
I need a final chapter for my book that's going to sell it. You know, come on. Yes. Let's add like a twist at the end. I mean, you can't just like end it with like, yep, and he was a good goalie. No. Uh-huh. There's got to be some sort of controversy. So Dale's behind all of it. He's
pulling. I have a little twist to this yes. series. Why don't we insert Shane Knighty into it? The sheriff.
Yes, of course.
That's why Billy Jaffe was so far away, you know, on Nesson. He wanted nothing to do with the Dale angle and the curse of Dale.
It's like a cursed coronavirus almost. You know, it's like he's always been 6 feet away. And it's not because he wasn't going to get sick. It's because he didn't want to get any of that stink of the curse of Dale Arnold.
That's true. He always stood across the shot from Dale. He's never on the same side. It's a good point.
No, he's super far away.
Even like before COVID, Jaffe was always on the other side.
He's been in like a green screen hell over there. Just stay away. Dale walks in the room and the lights like flick. You know, yep. He gets a hot pocket, and all he has to do is touch it with his finger, and all of a sudden, smoke's
coming out of it. I mean, Dale was in the building for Game 7 last year. I blame that as well. You know, he was in the building the same time the cup was there, and Lord Stanley was like, nope, not happening.
Nope. I'm going over to this locker room.
Oh, man. God, this
when
just
worlds
sucks.
Collide.
Yeah, that's right.
This is just awful. The only thing I can really hang my hat. All right, hang on. Let's go to Phil. Phil on line one. Phil, you're on the show.
Rich, God bless you for giving attention to this. And still people don't take it seriously. The other two guys in your studio are laughing. Hey, this is funny. It's a curse. It's like the curse of the Bambino. And I realized something. I've been calling since 2013, Rich. You know, I beat a dead horse. PhilVincent.com. You know me.
Phil Vincent, now, you're the shredder. Hang on.
Yeah,
you're
I'm the shredder.
Hey!
I'd like to shred Dale Arnold right now. I said, I don't want Dale to lose his job. Just put him on another team. Put him on the Red Sox. And then they said, wait a minute. Who owns Ness? The Red Sox, right? They're not going to put the curse on their own team. They're going to leave him on the Bruins.
Right.
How long do we have to endure this pain, Rich?
Phil.
How much more evidence do people need?
Dude, I just compiled. You're exactly right, Phil. You and I are on the same page here. Absolutely.
Yeah, Joe Murray is laughing his head off like, oh.
Yeah, because I don't like that. He's talking trash about me.
I'm laughing too, man.
You know, He's saying you don't take it seriously. Phil is saying, you know, this is not to be mocked.
No, Phil. You know what I want? I want you to go make a metal album about Dale. I want you to write songs about Dale.
Actually, you know what, Phil?
Nobody's going to buy it, Joe.
Jesus. Wow.
Phil, if you could make, listen, you are a metal master. You can shred more than anybody.
We play
your theme. You are literally one of the better guitarists I've ever heard. Like, you're really good. There's no one better to make a end the Dale Arnold curse theme song than you. I think that if you could make something and send it to us, maybe, just maybe, that would be like, you know, when songs are used by armies and it becomes like the voice of a revolution.
Is that what you want?
Yes, a rallying cry. That's what I want, okay. Phil Vincent, shredder extraordinaire. All right? Something that ends the curse of
Challenge
Dale Arnold.
Extra shredding, Phil. Extra shredding.
My fingers are going to be bleeding by the time I'm done.
Nice.
All right, man. Phil Vincent, you're the best. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
He was pissed that we were laughing about it.
Because it's
real.
True. Don't you mock the curse of Dale Arnold. Don't you mock it. It's real. All right. You know what?
You got to do it. Come on. You got to do it.
This is going to be interesting. A guy that, you know, usually is calling in screaming. And he's in a great mood, but to be quite honest, it's vulnerable moments like this that make the man interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, on line two, the guy that usually you see going around town in roller skates with a giant Bruins flag, one of the biggest Bruins fan. You saw him on the broadcasts. Xanadu, line two, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling horrible. This is just not a fun time. I feel like Ty Anderson and I should just swap war stories and see who has it worse. I think he does. I'll give it to him. But I just hate this every year, and it's always got to be the pause. Forget Tuca, forget everything else. It's just got to be the 4 months off that just robbed us at the end of this championship window.
And yeah, I'm just screaming,
and I can't even do it.
Yeah. Well, listen. You sound. This is. Yeah. I can hear you. This is definitely. I mean, if you're going to lose, it's better to do it now than the way they did it last year. Like, when we had you on last year, I was genuinely worried about you. Like, I mean, you were, and it was the crappiest way. Obviously, Game 7 is, you never want to lose then. But you sound like almost you've gotten used to this losing thing, Xanadu.
Well, last year, I say when Fred Kutcher is concerned for your personal safety, that's when you know that you've hit a new low.
No, we were all concerned, Fred.
I do appreciate that. I try to record stuff for you, but me sitting in the corner mumbling, why didn't Torrey Krug move him out of the way? Why didn't Torrey Krug move him out of the way? Why didn't they just play like that
for the whole series. If they had played like that game five for the entire series, we would have at least had fun. But no, they no-showed until the end, and they can hang their hats proud on that final game, and at least they give us that. But if they had just done that all series, we would have at least had a good time.
I know. That pissed me off, too, because you're watching them play, especially in that first overtime, and you're like, my God, where has this team been? And Halak, you know, obviously, you can't – he. No one expected him to be a Magic man, but last night he gave them everything he got, which was – I mean, more than you needed to win. They just needed to score. And it's been one of these things where I've been frustrated, obviously, with the way they've been playing. But yesterday, I don't know. And maybe the way that Halak played gives you a little bit of a better taste in your mouth when it's all done. But it just depressed me when they talked about Chara being gone and all that. So, I don't know, man. Xana, dude, I feel you this morning. I was worried about you. I'm not worried about you this time like I was last year. Last year was legitimately concerned.
I'm feeling better. You know, it was earlier in the COVID, like I accepted it, and like I kind of said, okay, there was no excuse for last year. This year, they at least have an excuse, not the best excuse, but one you can look and just say, all right, we'll deal with that. And as for Chara, I look up to that man. Everyone does.
We have to.
And I just lose. I know, right? Losing him just hurts. I actually have lessons I build around Zdeno Chara.
Wait, like, just, what? How do you do that?
I do a whole bunch of stuff about triangles and geometry, number 33, three sides, three angles, triangle. I got this whole thing about Chara, and I don't know what I'm going to do if we lose him, but I guess we could use the retired number little thing. But just Chara is a cornerstone. I'm going to miss him more than the Patriots fans are missing Brady. I guarantee it, because that man is just a pillar of this community.
All right. Well, Xana, dude, appreciate you checking in. Good to hear from you as always. But you know what? No matter what Xana dude says, and no matter how he talks about what they should have done and when they should have done it, or which players should have moved who out of the way, or whether or not, you know, Tuca should have been there, anything like that, we all know that this entire thing was completely out of our control, because fate had already been set into motion because of one sole reason.
Hi, this is Catherine Tappan, star of Nessun. Star of Nessun. Everything
is awesome. Get the duck boats ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions. Stanley Cup champions.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold. Dale Arnold.
Backhander, and a big St. Thomas rebound score.
Joel Ward on the follow-up bid wins the game for the Capitals. The Capitals put an end to the Bruins season.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
Time expires, and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Rust will send it all the way down, wide of the empty net, and that's it.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
The Bruins season comes to an end at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens.
Dale Arnold.
The St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup.
Shoots, they score! Victor Hedman wins it 3-2 for the Lightning in double overtime.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
You left out the crock of crap part, because it's a crock of crap.
That was a curse.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.